So today we are starting a new series called Family Road Trip. It is a summer, and everyone's excited. Some of you may be a little apprehensive about what we're going to do for the next 8 or 9 weeks. But it's always a time where you get to regroup, reprioritize, and get ready for the fall push. Because the fall's coming whether or not you want it to come. It's coming. One thing you learn about life is that things happen whether you're not whether you want them to happen or not. So you can try to delay things, but you can't delay the inevitable. It's going to happen. And so we can do the best we can to prepare and get ourselves ready and to position ourselves to receive what God has for us. And that's what we do here on Sundays to for what God has for us in the future. And so we're starting the series, and our hope is that at the end of this 8 weeks that you're going to get a vision for your family and what you want your family to look like 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And so I want to encourage you in that. There's a wall out there. We used to have that TCC prayer wall. What do you believe in God for the next year? Well, what we're doing now this year is this time next year, we will, and you're going to fill it in as a family. So we want you to get a vision for your family over the next several weeks. Different people will be sharing. We'll be rotating in and out, but there'll be different topics we're going to discuss so that you can get a vision, yes, but also get some practical steps. But you got to hear from the Lord for your life. I can only give you so much. You got to hear from the Lord for your life. And today is going to be a large part of my testimony, a large part of what I felt like God was doing in our life and what God wanted us to do. And hopefully you can grab some stuff from that. And so, Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for ears to hear what your Spirit has to say. Lord, tailor it. Lord, generate faith in this place today. God, move us toward the trajectory that you would have us to go in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus is getting ready to go, getting ready to go. He did what he had to do here, and he was giving some last instructions to his disciples. And this is what he said. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm not leaving you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going to send someone to be with you. That's why the day of Pentecost was so important. Because the Holy Spirit was about to make his entrance into the world and was not just going to reside with believers, but he was going to reside inside believers. So now you have someone doing life with you who's going to do the things that God has asked you to do. And lo, I am with you always. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Never. Take that with you. And so when I look back over my life and I look back over what God was calling me to do, it was started at a young age. But when I hit 19, 20 years old, God really began to speak to me and solidify what he had for me. And I've called you into ministry. I've called you to do some great things for me. I didn't know the gravity of what that actually meant. And so I began to walk through some different seasons, and God began to show me some different things about himself, because it's always bigger than you think. God never shows you everything at one time. He always gives you it in pieces. And so he began to show me some things, and it wasn't until about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, where I felt like God revisited what he told me as a younger man. And he said, now's the time. And let me tell you where this came. This came off the cuff of a difficult season in my life. Don't think that new seasons don't come off rough seasons. Don't think that God's all of a sudden going to birth something in you when you're on the mountaintop. Birthing does not happen on the mountain. It happens in the valley. When you can't see, in the difficult parts and the rough spots, when God begins to do a work and you birth in private. And God's doing some things. And so God began to speak some things to me off a very difficult season. And as I began to look back over my life, the seasons that I had weren't very easy. I can never look back over my life and say, well, that was an easy season. But he was with me even to the end of that season, coming into the next season. And I can remember God specifically, I was laying in bed one night, and God specifically looked down, and I felt like he was looking down and saying, I'm ready. And I got this picture of God saying, I'm ready. And I'm looking at myself, and I'm saying, you're ready now? But it was God's way of getting me to where I needed to be in order to speak to me specifically I'm ready. I've got you separated. I'm ready. And it was at that point that I began to make moves and began to take out some things in my life that needed to be taken out, and I began to make some adjustments in my life that needed to be adjusted, and whether or not I wanted them to be adjusted, they were being adjusted because God was getting me ready emotionally for what he had for me to handle in life, for what he had foreordained and predestined for me before the foundations of the world. God said, I'm ready to start to unfold that in your life now. Because I have your attention, and I've got these crutches out of your life, and I'm beginning to do a work in your life that you can't see, but I need you to begin to trust me, son. Will you trust me? And that process began about 7 or 8 years ago, more intensely than it ever has before. And this required me leaving family of origin stuff. It required me leaving old baggage and emotional habits that handicapped my process because I was leaning on things that were not the Lord. And as God began to separate, because he is the great separator, it was an uncomfortable process because he began to pull out things in me and deposit things in me that were necessary for me to do what he has called me to do on another scale. Son, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're going to a different land, and in that land, there's going to be giants, and there's going to be spirits, and there's going to be witches, and there are going to be things that you're going to have to handle and come against that I need you to be ready for. And you have to let me get you ready for that, because in the state you are right now, you're not. But if you let me get yourself ready, you'll be able to handle it. And it's not like God had to whoop up some miracle drug in order to get me ready. But the Spirit of God was already living inside of me, and he just decided that he was going to start moving things around and doing things so that he can prepare me to hold the fullness of what he had. God didn't have to grow up in me. God was already grown up. Okay? I had to grow into what God had for me. And as you continue to do that, God begins to do things in your life that are specific for you and what your call is. So you can't copy, or you can't try to imitate what somebody else is doing. When God calls you as a family to say, this is what I have for you, it's for you and your family. It is not for you and Cousin Ray Ray. It is not for you and your best friend Michelle. It is for you and it is for God. When God called Abram, he said, you get out of your country and you go to a land that I will show you. You go. And he took his family and what he knew, and he left, and he went to that country, trusting that God was going to take care of him along the way. But don't think that God's going to come to you when it's convenient. He will not come to you when it's convenient and when you have it all together and when you feel like you're ready. God will come to you when it's not convenient. God will come to you in the middle of the night and say, hey, it's time. God will come to you in the middle of the night and say, hey, sing. God will come to you in the middle of the night and say, hey, I need you to change directions and go this way. God will come to you at any time. It's not convenient. If you're looking for God only to get you when you're accessible, you're going to miss God, the supernatural God who works beyond your limitations. And I can remember during this time, this season was very difficult for me, and I had it. And I got to the point where I said, enough's enough. I'm tired of doing what everybody else thinks they want me to do. I'm tired of seeing this struggle. I'm tired of feeling this ache. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not really walking in where God has called me to walk in. I'm tired of this wilderness experience. I'm tired of it. And it was a reckoning moment for me when I stood up and said, but as for me and my house, we will do what God has called us to do no matter what. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the loss is. And until you can get over the fear of the loss, you'll never gain. And so I had to overcome and supersede what the natural tendency would have been to acquiesce to the opinions of other people because of where God was calling me. And don't think it did not come without a recourse or without a price that still affects today. Because when God calls you to do something, it is unusual at times. It is not conventional. It doesn't line up with the mainstream way of thinking. And so it's something that's different, and you have to be willing to be okay with that. And so when God began to do something in me, and when we began to birth the idea of what this church was, it was not the conventional idea of what a church was. I had knew it and I felt it. I said, God, I'm not doing it the way church. I'm tired of the way church is. I'm tired of going to church and feel like I just got a religious sermon and there was zero power and zero conviction. And I felt like this was not something I was going to be a part of. And so God began to do some things in my life and I began to see things. And as I look back, God was already preparing me because he knew my DNA and he knew my makeup. You will not fit in. And when I got that, and it's not that I haven't gotten that. But when I began to accept it more and more, it became easier just to roll with him. Because when you look at his life, he didn't fit in. The problem with today's society, everyone wants to fit in. We want to go where everybody else is going. That's not life. And so the trajectory began to change, and I had to come to grips with what the trajectory was, that not everybody's going with you, and I'm okay with that. You have to get to the point in your life where you say, come hell or high water, I'll do it by myself. And until you can get to that point, you're not going anywhere. Jesus said, follow me. Don't worry about what he's doing. Until you can do it that way, and you can do it with him, without anybody else going with you, you'll never get there. We've got people in this room, God has separated out. They started nonprofits. They did different things. But it doesn't come without a price. It doesn't come without saying yes to God and no to something else. So I had to establish for my family, what does a win look like? A win does not look like we've got Disney Barbie dolls lined up in our room. We've got toys we don't play with. We've got friends we're inviting over to sleep over all the time. What's a win for our family? That's not my life. That's our life. And it's not that our kids don't have a great life. Our kids have a great life. But what is a win for our family? And today I'm going to show you what the win for our family looks like, because these are going to be very familiar to you. Because when you see these, this is what birthed this church. And as you look at it, you're like, I've heard this before. This is what came out of this. Because God wants us to win. Win. Ultimately win. And the enemy were like nothing else to get you to think otherwise. I can remember, and you can scream at me all you want. You can be like, oh, I hate that movie. Rocky. His wife was having some physical problems. Remember this? You remember this? And Mickey was in there. You know, Mickey was a great trainer. He was an old boy. Old school trainer. You just love me, girl. And then he was supposed to go fight, but he put that on hold because of what was happening with his family. And it wasn't until his wife, Adrian, woke up. If you remember this, it's a telling scene in the movie. It changed the whole movie for me. Where she pulled him close in, and she said, hey, listen, I want you to do one thing for me. He's like, what's that? And she looked at him, and she said, win. Whole movie turned around and make it look, what are we waiting for? The whole regiment changed. The whole theme, the thematic scenes in the movie changed. You're fired up in the movie as he begins to go. He just was waiting on that one word. I just want you to win. No matter what's happening in my life, I want you to win. And it took that for him to move from where he was and gave him permission to do what God had called him to do. was to fight Apollo Creed. What has God called you to do? What are you waiting on permission to do? And God would have you know today that I just want you to win. I'm giving you permission to train, to go after it. I'm giving you permission to fight battles. I'm giving you permission to wage war. I'm giving you permission to take your sword out. I'm giving it to you. You don't just get over cancer. You fight through it. You heal through it. But I want you to win. It doesn't look like it. Believe me, I do, God said. And so all this stuff is being rearranged to get you to start to move in that direction to start to win. I've separated you because I want you to win. I've got you on the sideline because I want you to see some stuff, because when you go into the game, I want you to win. I want you to win. There is no loss in God. No loss. He has not ever lost. Never. And so when you can get your mind to stay on that, it translates to your life. When you have to make decisions to lose weight because of health reasons, because God wants you to win. I want you to win at what I called you to do, Malia, he said. I don't want you to stay on the sideline and do what everybody else is doing. I want you to win and go after it. But so many people are ducking behind tables. They're ducking behind other people. And that's the problem. We're waiting. We're hiding behind other people. And like God can't see. I want to hide behind them. Maybe God will like overlook me. God's not trying to overlook anybody. He knows where you're at. He'll get your attention. He'll pluck you right out and say, okay, now I want you to get going in that direction. So, losing is not fun. God said, I want you to win. I want you to get so used to winning, he said. Get used to it. Because we're not just talking about you ruling and reigning and winning forever. I want you to get used to it now. So if I'm already seated in heavenly places with him, he said, I want you to get used to that mindset down here. And by the way, if I have it all taken care of and I've got it all in control, you can't lose here. You can't. You might lose some stuff, but in reality, in the end, you're not going to lose, because I want to make all things work together for good. Because you love me, you're called according to my purpose. That's the key. If you're called according to God's purpose, you got it. You will win. There are things that have happened in my life. If I could tell you the stories that God has worked out and set me back on a rock, because I'm his, I'm chosen, it works out. He can try to get in and scheme. He can try to get in and work at it, but it doesn't work the way he wants it to work. It works for my benefit. What he tries to come in and get me to succumb to, God says, I'm going to give you the victory, and you're going to overcome it. And so what he meant for bad, God turns around for evil. I come out feeling swole. I come out big. I come out doing what I'm called to do. I come out more stable. I come out strengthened. So all that stuff that's working in my life, it's working for my good. If you can change your mindset that says, you know what, this is actually working for my good, you'll start to see progress. But if you start to say, I can't do it, it's not working for my good, this sucks, I can't do this thing called God, I hate this thing, and you start leaning on all your own understanding, because that's what happens. You start leaning on your understanding and what you can control, and what you can reason, then you start to fizzle out. And you have people doing that, call themselves Christians. I don't understand it anymore, so God doesn't love me. What you doing later? They start to lean back. But if you can get past that and know that it's all working for my good, witches, schemes, strongholds, devices, all that stuff's working for me. Yeah, it's working for you. It's like a game that never ends. It's working for you. Once you get past one level, guess what? You on the next level. God's bringing you all through that stuff. You're just learning different tricks on different levels. You got to. What you going to do? You have to learn that stuff. You got to learn it. And God's trying to teach it to you. This is kingdom warfare. I want you to win, Sharon. This is kingdom warfare. I'm going to teach you how to pray, Sharon. How many in here, and you know God has done this to you, when you had a tendency to feel sorry for y'all, God slapped you on the side of your head and said, get back up and do it again. Get back up and do it again. Get back up and do it again. I didn't call losers. I didn't call losers. I called you to win. So what does that mean for us? First day, we do hard things. In this family, we do hard things. And you know what? I wrestled with this. This is what we do. It's the first thing that came out of my mouth when I remember preaching this message 2 years ago. We do hard things. We don't skate the hard stuff. We don't do-si-do just because it doesn't feel good in this house. No, we do hard things. Yeah. Yeah, we do it. At 70, you're going to learn a new system. Learn it. That's what we do in this house. In my house, Mia and Lexi, guess what? Talk to Misty. Misty, you can testify to this. When they say they don't want to do something, guess what they're doing? They're doing it. When you tell God, I'm not doing that, guess what? You're doing it. Because God said, we are not going to let fear rob you of what I have for you in your life, because those are the things that open the door to greatness and possibility. Those are the things. Not doing the easy thing that you can do, but doing the tough thing to get your mind to stretch and your heart to open and your muscles to feel sore, all that stuff, so that you can hold what I have. I am not going to let you sit back in a corner and play it safe. You're not going to play it safe in here. God said, you're not going to play it safe. I told the kids, you're not playing it safe. And it's dangerous to live that way. I'm always in trouble. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. So guess what? I do. Because we do hard things. Because the thought of not experiencing God's fullness disturbs me. Because if there is something more that God has for me, I want that. Because I know He's good and that whatever He has for me is good. If I am settling for something that God does not want me to have because it's too low for me, then I need the faith to believe that God can get me to where I need to be. Something has to break. So it's not that God doesn't want to give it to me, but something in my life has to break. Maybe it's a stronghold that has to come down. I'm seeking shelter in something that I shouldn't be seeking shelter in. That's what a stronghold is. Because I'm trying to find security in something that there's no security in. So I have to hit, my mind's got to get right in order for me to get what God has for me. And that's where the hit is. That's where the battle is. My mind's got to get right. And in order for my mind to get right, I have to transform. And transformation is not easy. Because you're talking about a nature that has been born in sin. You're not talking about all of a sudden one day at 10, I got a nature of sin. No, when you were born in that nature. And you're not just dealing with one generation of nature. You're dealing with generations of nature. That's why there are generational curses that are hard to break. Because you, when you are born into a family, you are now born into the blessing of the family, but you're also born into the curses of the family. So then those things have to be broken. And so you're trying to deal with lust 3-4 generations back sometimes. And so, but as for me and my house, we're going to break that stuff off, and you will know that you're loved, you will know that you're accepted, and you will do what God has called you to do because of God's goodness. I'm trying to wash my mouth today. Because sometimes you have to get raw with it in order for it to change. Because what happens is that if you don't use your mouth to confess the goodness of God, the enemy handicaps your praise, and he handicaps the faith that God wants to release from you. And if you can't get it out of your mouth, it stays stuck, and it can't do the work that it's supposed to do. So it's got to get out of your mouth. You got to figure out, why is it stuck? Why is it stuck? Am I concerned or am I afraid of God rejecting me? Am I afraid of what others are going to say about me? Am I afraid that other people are going to see me in a light that I don't want to be favorably seen in? Am I afraid? And all that stuff. And what am I saying? I'm afraid of. What am I afraid of? And so what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And you have to wrestle with fear. Because if you don't wrestle with fear, faith has no way to do what it's supposed to do. Got to wrestle with it. My faith has to fight that fear that's coming up in my life. I have to be able to stand in the midst of uncertainty and difficulty in order for me to understand what God has for me. I got to stand because that fear is trying to attach itself to me. And so why? Okay, well, it could be generational. There are things in my life, I'm telling you right now, generational, God's broken off already. Broken off. Did not come without a fight. If you are looking for the easy way out, and if you're looking for the way out where God's, well, God says, okay, well, pass go, you get $200, and then you come into your new mansion, okay, that doesn't work that way. Here's the easy way out. You go through. And God is so big and God is so good that God will present you with two options. You have two options. You could either die in self-loathing here, or you can walk through that dark area of your life, get healing, and get victory. You choose. Die here, miss out on what I have for you, or risk death going through a dark area of your life that I want to heal so that you can experience life. You choose. Some would say, I'd rather die here, and that's sad. Because what it does is it speaks to the lack of faith in who God is. So, my God. So, the question, do you want to be made well, is such an important question. Because to want to is the issue. 2 weeks ago, we talked about low T. We talked about, we got a lot of people, low T, low try. Low try. We got low try. We got other people dealing with stuff. Just call Roman. They can help you with that stuff. But we got, you get that later. Look it up later. So you got a lot of these other people. They got low try. They don't want to try. They can see good. They can see better. They can see how to get there. But they just can't. What if? I can't. It's too hard. Don't you want to risk being hurt? Don't you want to risk where you are right now in order to get freedom? Isn't something inside of you that says, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway? Yeah, I said it, because you get stuck in this pattern that says, what if I do? What if I don't? And you're ripping yourself to shreds in fear and anxiety. And God said, just go. Just jump. How did you learn to swim? How did you learn to jump off the diving board? You jumped off it. And you realized that the water wasn't that bad. Just go. If it's wrong, God will work it out. I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about you're in a battle and a tussle with faith. There's something in my heart. There are things that God wants me to do. And you're stepping toward it, inching toward it. And you're like, I just can't do it. Just do it. Because it's that act of faith that breaks the hold of fear. Because what that does, it helps redefine your root system. All of a sudden, I begin to realize, God's got me. And it lessens the hold of what my former life was like. God's got me. If He's got me, I'm going to do it. More importantly, God knows me. If God knows me, then I know He's got me. But it's the transition between He knows me and doing what I feel like God wants me to do, that He's got me, is the problem. Because what if He knows me, but I don't know myself that well, and does He really have me when I go? He's got you, and He'll begin to say that to you. I got you, bro. Just go. Look back over your life. I got you. I got you. And the more you do that, and the more you step out, the more your mind is transformed. And guess what? More power, more love, more self-discipline. He's got me. He's got me. Yeah, why? Because we do hard things. I don't remember a time in my life where that wasn't the case. So look back over your life, and you can look at different points. I don't remember when it wasn't like that. So what makes me think that it's going to change and be different? Because the more I become aware of who I am, the easier for me it is to dial in. Wait a minute. That hasn't changed since I was 5. it's not going to change now. Because that's the way the wiring is. Okay, God will change your nature, yes, from that old sin nature. And all of a sudden you have that new nature and things are changing. But God doesn't change who Sharon is just so Sharon can fit in with everybody else. Sharon is specifically designed the way God wants Sharon to be designed. And so for Sharon not to operate the way God wants Sharon to operate, it's a disservice, not only to herself, but also to people. And it lets God know, I don't like what you made. So I got to operate. There's a certain oil that has to go in her car, her soul. There's a certain connection that she has with God, that God wants it that way. And so you got to understand how you're wired. And you know how you're wired. Most of us know how we're wired. We know how. The problem is being okay with the wiring. If you're trying to undo and fix stuff that God has already placed inside of you, and that says you, you are dismantling the creation that God has already said that you are in His sight. Beautifully and wonderfully made. Why would I want to rearrange the wiring system and make myself be something that I'm not? Because all it does is that makes me feel uncomfortable and out of place when I already am chosen in Him. So why would I want to change it? I don't need to change it. I have to just come into alignment with I'm valued in the way I am. Weird, wired, wonky, whatever it is. I'm that way because that's what God wanted. He wanted all of that. I'm not looking for robots. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for people that I can work in who are flexible, who are wiry, who can move. I'm not trying to make it like anybody else. That's why what's happening in the nation today is a travesty. It's a travesty. You are tearing down the image of God for the way you think you should see yourself. And we have a root problem. And God's trying to get at the root. Because once you get to the root of something and you begin to correct it and you begin to heal it, everything else comes into focus. And once you begin to understand that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I don't have to change or acquiesce to what anybody wants me to do. I am good. I like my weird. I like it. I like it because you know why? I'm better this way in the way God's called me to be. When you come to understanding who you are, nothing can stop you. Nothing. Even a view of yourself that is unprofitable can't stop you because God knows who you are. God will use you in spite of you. So if you're looking like, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to line up perfectly, you're not going to line up perfectly. You got stuff that's out of balance and out of whack. It's called life. It's called nature that you were born into that God is still reworking. But nevertheless, we do hard things. That's what we do here. Second thing, what do? We face our shadow. I'm moving through them. You know, those areas of our life that come up that want to take us out, unbeknownst to ourselves, at inopportune times. When you're trying to make progress, you know what the shadow looks like. It comes up. You're stepping out and doing something that you know that God has called you to do, and all of a sudden you feel like, man, I am swimming out here. I don't see anybody around me who can catch me. All of a sudden, shadow rises up. You're going to fail. You don't fail. And unless you combat that attitude and that lie, you will. Because what will happen is you'll begin to look around everywhere else. And instead of seeing God, you'll see your surroundings and you'll start to drop. I'm not going to make it through all these today, guys. Just deal with it. Move on. Yeah. But these are the two main things. If I can't have an understanding of my shadow, I'm not going to have the ability to beat it. So if I'm about to do something for God, the enemy's not going to throw up my victories. Man, you were so good. Man, when you defeated that last elbow I threw at you, man, you were so good. He ain't going to do that. He's going to throw up what happened when you were a kid. He's going to throw up that little thing inside of you that hasn't quite been fixed or healed and that makes you limp a little bit. He's going to throw that up and say, see, remember that? That's not fixed. And unless you're smart enough, and unless you've been around long enough, unless you've seen God help you through that, you'll succumb to it every time. Don't succumb to it. And a lot of times it has to do with an emotional thing in your life that has not been taken care of. Not taken care of. You're living in the shadow of your family. You're living in the shadow of someone else. God said, come out of the shadows. So where are we going as a family? Well, number one thing we're going to do is we're going to do hard things here. And it's going to be uncomfortable. So what do we do at this church? Number one thing we do here is we do hard things. I can look over the past 3-4 years of this church. I can see different people popping in my head. Victory, victory, victory. Stepped out of the shadow, dealt with insecurity, beat this, beat that. Because they allow God to transform them and they realize that's the nature and the culture of this house. When you establish the nature and the culture of the house, it's easier to understand that when you walk into it, whether or not it's the place for you or not. Right off the bat, that's just what it was. So if you have an understanding of that, then you can deal with that. Now, a lot of times God will use that to attract people to it because that's what they really need. They just haven't seen it yet. Well, when I was growing up, we really didn't talk about things in our house. As for me and my house, we're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to open our mouth. We're going to dialogue about some things here. So that when you get out of the Word, you're going to understand what that is. You understand what that is. And even now, I'm going to let you see some stuff. I just want you to see what that is. And so you can dialogue and wrestle with it yourself. I'm not talking about addicting them to things that are not good for them. I'm talking about exposing them to things that are not right in God's eyes so that they can understand and see how valued they are in His eyes. So the hope and prayer is that if we can dialogue about it, you're not going to get ensnared by it. Come on. If you're going to dull the talk in your house, someone else is going to talk to them. If you can't speak about something that's hot, if you can't speak about something that has repercussions, you are doing your kids a disservice and you are allowing the enemy the ability to run roughshod in the minds of your kids so that they can't understand what's happening and what's going on. So you got to be able to talk about things. You got to be able to face shadows. Yeah, that means talk about some of the stuff you went through. Yeah, so where are we going as a family? Let me tell you what daddy struggled with a little bit. Okay, but you know what it does? It brings you back together as a family because they see that, oh, look, daddy overcome it. Your kids want to see you do stuff. They want to see you overcome stuff. They want to see you talk about stuff that you're real, that you're tangible, that, listen, you're spiritual, yeah, but you're tangible. They see you as who you are, but that you went through some stuff. Talk about some stuff. You don't have to bring up demons. Come on, play with me, boy. Now talk about, you don't have to bring up demons. You don't have to bring up stuff when you were 10 and 8. If God doesn't want you to do that, stuff's under the blood. I'm not talking about resurrected stuff. I'm talking about, hey, when I was back in this, this is something that I struggle with. When the opportunity comes up so they can see it so that the enemy has no power. But guess what? Generationally, that's not happening in my house. And you know what? It hasn't. Kind of. But you're praying against it. You're doing what you can in order to avoid things from popping up. When it pops up, let's talk about it. Let's not let things live in secret because then it has power over you. Then all of a sudden it becomes, I got to hide now behind stuff. But we do hard things, and that means, hey, this is what happened. Isn't that what God does? Isn't that what we did with Adam? Where you at? Well, we're naked. Who told you that? Who told you you were naked? I'm going to ask you that today. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you had to hide? When God sees it all, Elroy, the God who sees. And so if He sees it all, it's beneficial to me to open up. Well, I don't know what that's. No, open up. Because all you're doing is you're delaying the inevitable. You will have to come to terms with your life and what you did and what you didn't do. So you got to come to terms with it. God said, I already saw some stuff. I forgave it before He even did it. because I knew you were going to do it. But if you'll come out to me and you'll allow me to come in and heal it, we'll have a better relationship. See, the issue is that we have people who are trying to have a relationship with God, but they're hiding behind stuff they did. And God says, if you'll just take the mask down and you'll allow me just to come in and dine with you and talk with you, you'll see that I'm not that bad at all. Because the enemy has perpetuated this lie that God is angry and that he's mad and that he wants to come in and wreck your life. And the opposite is true. I'm trying to come heal your life. So much so that he went looking for Adam and Eve. There are some things that happen to you that are not your fault. Not your fault. But they happen. There are three words, and we're about ready to close. There are three words that I believe God wants to help you in this process. And it's this. Get over it. Get over it. Not because he's mean, but because he's God. And he sees things you don't see. And he understands. Lord, help me with this. I'm trying to help you to get over it so that you can see that I supersede it all. I'm sovereign in it all. I work things out together for all. If we were to go back and dissect every area of your life that didn't line up the way you thought they were supposed to line up, it would be detrimental to your health. Because sometimes it's just about living. Until we get to heaven, you're going to deal with stuff that you have not dealt with. You're not going to understand certain things that happened, why certain people left you, why people didn't come get you. And God says, I saw it all, and I was present in it all. How do you know? And how do you know that I didn't save you from some things? How do you know that I didn't protect you from that? How do you know that I wasn't, at a young age, grooming you to lean into me? I was helping you do that now so that later on in your life you didn't have to learn the lessons that you should have learned years ago. Look back in perspective. Get over it. I know more than you. That's how God talks to me sometimes. Because what happens is we have a tendency to repeat on ourselves. We have a tendency to self-loathe and this didn't happen. And God said, it didn't happen because I didn't want it to happen. It didn't happen because it wasn't going to be beneficial for you. And even if it did happen, where would you be today if it didn't happen, if you got what you wanted? No, okay, if you got what you wanted, where would you be? Who would you be married to? Where would your kids be? Who would they look like? Where would they be? What kind of relationships would they have? And God said, I've been so good, I've been separating you and protecting you, and so that when I do bring things into your life, though they might be difficult, they're still good for you. That's what God does. I bring things in and out because they're good for you. I take things out, guess what? Because it's good for you. How many of us would be honest in here? And we look at God sometimes the way we looked at or look at our earthly fathers. Yes, Lord, I see my hand. Thank you. Everyone was like, eh. Or you look at God the way that someone else treated you in the name of Christianity. And that's who God is. You don't know God. You're getting to know God. You see him in one light based upon the experience you went through, and that's your lens. But you don't see the full picture. And until you become face to face with him and that picture becomes clearer, you'll always have a little bit of a marred and skewed view of who God is, because you don't see the end from the beginning. God sees it, you don't. And so we have to trust the fact that God has been working out his plan and his purpose before the foundation of the world, even up to now. So that one day that when we're presented before him and we walk in and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, we can enter in faith and trust to know that It was my Savior who did it. You don't get it all now. You got to trust the fact that what did or what did not happen is still good for you. Whether he gives or whether he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody stand up to their feet. There are some things that I've done to myself, but God's still good. Still good, still provided for it, still knew about it, still understood it. There are some things I didn't do that happened to me, and God's still good, still provided for it. He's always been good, never not been good. And so let's change our thinking to God's only, not only good when it doesn't happen, but God is also good when it does happen. So God is good all the time. God doesn't change. It's a nature thing. God doesn't change. He's good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still good. Thank you, Lord, that today wasn't a great day. You're still good. Thank you, God, that they left. Oh, you're still good. Thank you, God, that it wasn't the way I thought it was going to be, but you're still good. Thank you, God, for the blessing of not knowing where it was going to come from, because you know what? You provided. You're still good. Thank you, God, that for the strength that I'm seeing in my life and the way you're building, I love the way. I love the new me. Thank you, God, for just bringing me back into a place of focus with you. I know it hasn't been easy, but guess what? You're still good. Thank you, God, for the grace that to do hard things when everybody else is not doing it. You know why? Because you're still good. Thank you, God, that when I'm leaning on my understanding and not with you, you're still good, that you're the go-between, that you're the one helping me not to kill myself with my own thoughts. Thank you, God, you're the one who's still good when I can't see it. God, you're the one who's still good when I don't know if they are coming back. You're still good. God, when we can't have what we think we're supposed to have, I thank you that you're good because you're protecting us, that you're shielding us from things that we don't need to have in our life, and that when we need to have it, we'll have it. You're still good. Thank you for your grace that's been sufficient, that's always been there, that it's always on time. Thank you for dealing with me and putting up with me. Thank you for leaning in with me. Thank you for sheltering me, showing me who you are. Thank you for wrestling with me. Thank you for fighting with me. Thank you for getting in there with me, because you're still good. Thank you, even in your goodness. Thank you for disciplining me. Thank you for hitting me up sometimes upside the head. Thank you for all that stuff. Thank you, God, for rebuking me. Thank you, God, for showing me the way that I should take, because when it's over, I'm going to come out like pure gold. Thank you, God, when I didn't know what was going to happen, that you came in, that you saved me in the middle of the storm. Thank you, God, when I didn't know where to step, that you became my step, that you showed me. Thank you for making rivers. Thank you, God, for making water sprout up in dry areas of my life. Thank you, God, for all that stuff. Thank you for working it all out. Thank you for taking people. Thank you for taking my emotions and healing me from kiddish and childish ways. Thank you for breaking me out of small thinking and help me think bigger. Thank you for not allowing me to use my handicaps as an excuse as to being able to be used. Thank you, God, for getting in, destroying yokes, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Thank you for all those things. Thank you, God, because in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Thank you for victory. Thank you for victory. God, thank you most importantly for winning on the cross and allowing us today to know that we can win. Thank you, God, that you want us to win, that you shouldered the burden of sin so that we can win, that we don't have to go back to our own life, that we can win, that you resurrected from the dead so that we can win, that we don't have to stop short of glory because we can win. Thank you that we are not losers. We can win. In Jesus' name, we can win. In Jesus' name, we can win. Everybody, we can win, he said. Every hand up in the air in this place. There's nothing in here. God said it's too difficult for me. Nothing. Thank you, God, that no death, no hindrance, no scheme of the enemy is too difficult. Thank you, God, that you will break forth like the noonday sun in the lives of your sons and your daughters, so that they will see the hope that we have, that hope that doesn't disappoint beyond this life, that no past trauma, no past mistake, no past issue will stop your goodness for happening and coming to fulfillment in our life, that we will live to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, that we will walk in faith, we will walk in favor, that we will take back areas of our life that the enemy has stolen. Thank you, God, for keeping us in step with you. Thank you, God, for keeping keeping us in line with you. Thank you, God, for helping us to possess promises in you, that we will possess promises that pertain to life and godliness in you. Every single thing you promised will come to pass in our life, that every plot, every scheme, every lie that says you will not, we thank you that you said you will. And I thank you that we will go in and possess the land, that no devil, no stronghold will stop it, and that we will see an outpouring of your Spirit in this place. People walking in spirit and power and discipline as the dead are raised, and people get their life back because you are the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.